Welcome to episode 138 of Practical Defense, Strength Training. Welcome to the Practical Defense Podcast, where you'll learn practical approaches to staying safe in our increasingly dangerous urban environments. I'm your host, Alex Addix. In this episode, we're going to look at strength, muscles, and why you want to build a certain type of muscle. Yes, there are different types of muscle tissue, and you can tailor your training program to cultivate more of one type than the other. This episode will also help set up an interview I've planned in the near future, but more on that in a minute. So before we get into this week's topic, I have quite a few announcements, actually. A lot of things happened in the past week for me, all good things, thankfully. A bunch of items that I had been working on have finally come back. First, and perhaps the most important, is that my company, Palladium Education, Inc., is now accredited by the California Board of Registered Nursing. This is a big deal. A workplace violence program is accredited, and we can now issue continuing education contact hours and continuing education units. So yes, by taking our course, you can earn CEUs. Those that need to earn CEUs to maintain credentials know how cool this is. From a business perspective, this is huge because it sets us apart from the competition in a major way. It also helps out the students by giving them an additional bonus for attending the course. It was an 8-month intensive process, and I mean, they even wanted to review our marketing brochures, but it should be worth it in the end from a business perspective. Next, this past week I was awarded my second federal trademark. My first trademark was for my tagline, "Stay Where, Stay Safe." This new trademark is for my workplace violence program. Now, the containment techniques that we teach to nursing and other healthcare staff are designed to protect the employee while at the same time not harming the patient. We feel it's unethical to inflict pain or harm upon someone who is already ill and needs help. So, for example, your grandmother has had a stroke and she's easily confused. She's in a rehabilitation clinic or an assisted living facility, and something scares her, and in her fear and confusion, she bites a nurse or starts swinging her cane at the staff or other patients. Do you want some giant thug of a tech running in there and slamming your grandmother into a wall or hip-throwing her to the ground? No, of course not. That's ridiculous. What you want is just someone to come in and prevent her from hurting anyone else or even herself until she calms down. The incident will pass, and she'll probably even apologize for it if she can even remember it happening. She is not a hardened criminal. She is not a sociopath. She's just a frightened old lady. The same holds true for our returning soldiers who have experienced traumatic brain injuries from explosions. Or how about a middle-aged man who's having hallucinations while he's waking up from anesthesia after surgery? And by the way, that happens a lot. We need to protect the staff while at the same time protecting the patients. So to encapsulate the nature of our restraining methods, I came up with a title of Compassionate Containment, and I was just awarded a trademark on that phrase. So that's another big deal that took about 10 months to finally complete. Now in further news, the show here, Practical Defense, has hit another milestone. This week marks our third year of production. The first episode went live on August 12 of 2007, and here we are at August 9th, 2010. Holy cow. I didn't really even know what to say here. I've had jobs that didn't last this long. And I also like to point out that my wife is quick to note that I don't make money off the show either. However, it is fun, and I do it because I think it helps people. Since this is an anniversary issue, I thought I'd give a quick look behind the curtain to let everyone in on the type of distribution that the show has these days. The show is downloaded in over 135 countries, with 91% of those downloads coming from the United States. However, that means that the remaining 9% still accounts for thousands of downloads on a monthly basis. So here are the top countries, other than the United States, in order of the top country first. So number one, we have Canada, and then two is the UK, three is Australia, four is Germany, five is Mexico, six is Singapore, seven is Japan, eight is China, 9 is France, and 10 is Malaysia. When you look at the entire list, we have every country in North America and South America, most of the countries from Central America, nearly all of the countries in Europe, and a bunch of countries from the Middle East and Asia, and even a handful of countries in Africa. In fact, the country of South Africa used to be much higher on the list, but recently fell off for some reason. I'm not exactly certain why. And they're right now around number 50. Now I have a breakdown of the top states within the United States, and I'll only go over the first five. Topping out the list is Texas, and my home state of California is actually only number 2. Number 3 is Ohio, number 4 is Florida, and number 5 is New York. And as far as the applications that are used to download the show, iTunes represents about 78% of the downloads, the Zune Marketplace is 18%, and Python, and I'm not exactly certain what that is 0.7%. And everything else is a combination of web downloads and various iDevices, you know, direct downloads by like iPhones and iPods and things like that. The last thing I want to cover before we move on to our main topic is that I have posted an entirely new interface for my website, alexaddicts.com. I was getting a lot of feedback that the old site wasn't displaying properly under Internet Explorer 8, and I did some things to correct it, but then other things popped up that broke. So I just took some time and redid the entire site from the ground up with a new color scheme, new navigation, just basically a whole new look. The feedback so far is that people really like the changes, and it's much easier to find things on the site. So stop by, check it out, and let me know what you think. Alrighty, that covers pretty much all the events and updates to date. It's been really pretty busy around here, so we'll be right back with a discussion on strength training. Welcome back. This week's show is an introduction of sorts for an upcoming interview that I have planned for the next week or so. What I'm going to do this week is introduce some key concepts, talk about some physiology, and talk about two of my favorite strength exercises. Then, when I have Thomas Kurz on the show, we can go right into the meat, so to speak, of the training philosophies and applications. Now, for those of you that don't know, Thomas is the author of the book Stretching Scientifically. He's a fellow columnist for Taekwondo Times magazine and a sports trainer. It should be a really educational interview. I'm going to be moving pretty quickly on these subjects and throwing a lot of facts around with very little fluff. So if you need to, listen to this section again because it will be pretty dense in material. For background, let's start with looking at the physiology of muscles in humans. When we look at ourselves, we normally think of our muscles as big things like biceps and quadriceps and pectorals and so on and so forth. Those muscle groups belong to the skeletal muscle category. They are the muscles that move us around. What many people don't understand is that there are three broad groups of muscles. We have smooth muscles, cardiac muscle, and as I already mentioned, skeletal muscle. Smooth muscles are the ones that work inside our bodies, almost exclusively in conjunction with our organs. The smooth muscles are what help us swallow, they move our food through our digestive tract, and so on. We cannot directly control smooth muscle tissue. The technical term is called involuntary muscle action. Cardiac muscle is only found in the heart. It's also an involuntary muscle tissue. Skeletal muscle is what we use to move around. It's connected to our bones by tendons. And for a quick definition here, tendons connect muscle to bones. Ligaments connect bones to other bones. Now, there are two types of skeletal muscle, slow twitch and fast twitch. Slow twitch skeletal muscle is an aerobic muscle. This is what we use for our longer events, such as walking, biking, swimming, essentially any continuous event lasting over 3 minutes. Fast twitch muscle is going to be the focus of our discussion this week. Fast twitch muscle fibers are anaerobic in nature. They provide speed and power, but only in short bursts lasting less than 3 minutes. So sprinting, pushing hard on weights, basically any quick actions are all powered by fast twitch anaerobic muscles. So why, as self-defense people, do we want to focus on the fast twitch muscle groups? Well, because most physical conflicts last less than 30 seconds, and we need to bring as much speed and power to bear as fast as we can into that window of time. In street conflicts, there's no warm-up. There's no long lead-in. You must have an explosive and immediate reaction. All of that motion is powered by the fast twitch anaerobic skeletal muscle group. Now, for completeness and accuracy, there are technically three subtypes of the fast twitch muscles, but I'm not going to go into that level of detail here. So let's talk about anaerobic versus aerobic here for a moment. Do you remember way back in high school biology where you learned about adenosine triphosphate, or ATP? Well, think hard, because we're going back there again. ATP is the primary molecule used for energy in muscle contraction. The body can make ATP in a couple of different ways. One way uses oxygen in combination with other elements to create ATP. This is a comparatively slow process, but is really efficient for long-term use. This is the aerobic process, meaning with air. The other way, the anaerobic process, can replenish ATP very quickly, but is inefficient and does not use oxygen, hence anaerobic or without air. One of the byproducts of the anaerobic process is lactic acid. Now, lactic acid inhibits further production of ATP, so as it builds up, it gets harder and harder for your muscles to get the energy that they need. Now, that burn that you feel in your muscles with stiffness is traditionally attributed to the lactic acid buildup. This is what I was always taught. But these days, some people are saying that the burn and stiffness is not from lactic acid, but something else. The thing is, they don't know what causes it. They just don't think it's the lactic acid. I've seen it written both ways from highly respected sources, so take your pick. Personally, I'm in the lactic acid camp until they can tell me something specific about what causes it. Saying, I don't know what it does, but I know it's not that, is not good enough for me. Meh. Okay, so far we have covered muscle energy production, you know, our friend ATP, the different muscle types, we've identified the muscle type that we want to cultivate, and why we want it. All we have left to discuss is how we cultivate that precious muscle type. Now, every skeletal muscle group in the human body is made up of a combination of slow twitch and fast twitch muscle types. With the proper exercise routine, you can change the ratio of slow twitch to fast twitch. When I was a national level competitive swimmer, my college coach would biopsy our muscles to count the types of fibers. He would do this before and after the season. Yeah, it was seriously hardcore. My coach was Ernie Maglisco, and he was the head U.S. Olympic swim coach a few times, and our team held the NCAA record for most consecutive national titles. I was not the best person on the team, and eventually I had to drop off because my shoulder couldn't take the workout regimen. Regardless, I was honored to train under him. I probably learned more from him about the cutting-edge training methodologies than anyone else. He was decades ahead of everyone else, even in other athletics. And he is probably the top swim coach of all time. I'm going to save the cultivation of the muscle types for the interview with Thomas. However, I will talk about workout theory and share two of my favorite exercises before we're done. Now, no action you take, no motion you make in natural movement is with an isolated muscle group. Everything you do, especially in the martial arts, is with groups of muscles moving in unison towards a common goal. This is a critical thing to remember when you strength train. This premise is one of the reasons I suggest to people, and I personally avoid using isolation machines when lifting weights. Most machines are designed to work a specific muscle or group. They are great for body sculpting and making you look good. However, they are not as functional as they could be. This was a lesson learned by college and professional football teams. They had these huge guys that could push tremendous weight, but they were not fluid or agile on the field. If the opponent stood still, he was done. But no one stands still. The solution to the problem is using free weights instead of machines. Now, you're not going to be able to push as much weight with free weights as with a machine. The reason is that you need to bring other muscles into play to stabilize the weight and motion. As a martial artist and self-defense practitioner, those are the muscles we want as well. Those are the muscles that we need to build up. So consider using free weights from a standing position for all of your strength exercises. You'll start to feel tension in your core, your legs, and your back, even if you're just doing shoulder presses. You need to teach your body and muscles to work in concert. That will increase your speed, your fluidity, and power more than working on isolation machines. I'll touch briefly here upon the importance of your back and back muscles. Now, this is a favorite subject to Thomas, so I'm not going to spoil it too much. You cannot perform any maneuver in martial arts without using your back muscles and stomach muscles. Every kick, every block, every punch uses your back and stomach. You cannot neglect them. In fact, in Thomas's training programs, he doesn't even start on the main subject until he's covered strengthening your back and stomach. When people refer to strengthening your core, they often forget that the core includes your back, not just your abdominals. I'll close by sharing two of my favorite free weight exercises. Now, as a disclaimer here, these are advanced exercises and need to be performed with care and proper form. If you do not use proper form or try to push too much weight, you can really hurt yourself. So please, please, have a professional trainer teach you these and have him critique your technique before you actually try them on your own. Seriously, you can really mess yourself up. Each of these exercises works your back heavily in addition to a huge number of other muscles. These are great examples of free weight exercises that get your whole body involved in the motion. Now, the first one is the deadlift. This is one of the oldest weight exercises there is. It consists of squatting down, standing up, and squatting down again. Simple in theory, wonderful in practice. It uses your quads, your hams, your back, your shoulders, and everything in between. I discovered this exercise when I was looking for an alternative to squats. It's similar in motion, but I found that there is less stress on my knees, which is what I needed. Some people don't like the deadlift because it uses your back, and if done improperly, you can hurt yourself. And that's a completely valid point of view. However, if done safely and properly, it is a wonderful exercise. My second favorite strength exercise is called the wood chopper. Now again, there is a heavy use of the back in this simple move, and you will hurt yourself if you do it improperly. In this exercise, you use a single dumbbell. You hold it above your right shoulder, and then with your arms mostly straight, you keep them bent a little bit, move the dumbbell across your body and down to your left ankle. Then you repeat it on the other side, left to right. The move takes its name from the action because it looks similar to someone chopping wood with an axe. Now, another nice thing about this motion is that it is very similar to performing a hip throw and a shoulder throw. So for those that practice throwing arts, this might be a good choice for you. Now, I cannot stress enough that you need to be careful if you choose to do this exercise. You are using a lot of back in it, while at the same time, you are twisting your body and you move the weight away and then back in. If you don't keep your abdominals tight, you can really hurt yourself. You also need to maintain control of the weight or the motion can pull you off balance. But that control is what pulls all those other wonderful muscles into play at the same time. So for either of these exercises, proper technique is imperative. It is critical. It is essential. If you choose to try them, get training from a professional first. I have not given you enough information here to actually perform these exercises. You need to be shown proper gripping, foot placement, head and back alignment, breathing, and weight selection. These are things that I cannot provide in pure audio. And actually, that does it for the introduction to strength training.
Gun Rights Radio Network has the best pro Second Amendment, pro gun rights podcast available on the net. The podcasts are absolutely free when subscribing using iTunes or Zoom Marketplace. Or if you want, you can just listen from the website. Make sure you visit gunrightsradio.com to subscribe. Podcasting freedom, one episode at a time.
So, in summary, we have... There are three types of muscles, smooth, cardiac, and skeletal. There are two types of skeletal muscle, slow twitch and fast twitch. Quick actions are powered by the fast-twitch anaerobic muscles. We focus on the fast-twitch anaerobic muscles because most physical conflicts last less than 30 seconds. When you strength train, you should consider using free weights over machines because free weights get more muscles involved in the exercise and train your muscles to work together towards a common goal. Do not forget about your back and stomach when you train. You use your back and stomach in every martial arts move. My two favorite strength exercises are the deadlift and the wood chopper. And again, Get trained in how to perform these exercises before trying them for yourself. If you do not use proper form and technique, you can really, really hurt yourself. And don't forget that in January, I am hosting a Masada Ayoub seminar. You can find all the details, location, and the cost on my newly redesigned website, alexhaddix.com/mag20, M-A-G-2-0. And of course, we still have the 20% discount on subscriptions to Taekwondo Times magazine. Just enter our exclusive promo code of PRACDEF01 at checkout. The subscription to the print edition of the magazine includes digital copies as well. You can find a promo code and a link in the show notes. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexhaddix.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe.
Tom Gilmore lives on a farm. There's a storm on the way, so he's boarding up the windows of his house.
Haley Williams lives in an apartment. It's a beautiful day. She's making her usual monthly donation to the American Red Cross.
Tom doesn't know a tornado will leave his family with no place to go.
Haley doesn't know her gift will help give Tom's family shelter.
When you support the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your area.
Practical Offense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions, commentary, and topic suggestions, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.